Sam, keeping it true, watching old movies so you don't have to. With the benefit of hindsight, we'll see where the movies truly awful, or did they change history? Good evening, and welcome to the Benefit of Hindsight podcast, the movie podcast in which a father and son talk about movies that they watched together long ago. We give each movie a memory score and then re-watch the movie to see whether or not the movie is better or worse than we remembered. With me, as ever, is my son Sam. Good evening, Sam.
Good evening, Dad. How are you doing?
I'm good. This week, I've mostly enjoyed being more tired than ever. How about you?
Absolutely, yeah. It's my favourite thing in the world at the moment.
What, not sleeping?
Just being awake and doing my job, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, it's so good, isn't it? It's like living the dream.
That's exactly what it is. But it wouldn't be a dream because we're awake.
That's true. So we're living a waking dream.
The nightmare, yes, the waking dream.
The waking dream. It's a good name for an album. We've gone off on a tangent before we've really started.
Oops.
So anything this week that's happened that you want to share with the listeners, Sam?
Well, actually, no.
Okay, moving on. If you are a regular listener to our show, you will know that, unbelievably, we haven't gone away and watched a film.
The movie podcast without a movie.
That's exactly it. But the reason why this is a movie podcast without a movie this week is because we decided last week that we would do one last episode to end off season one. And that is what we're going to call the listener's question episode, because we have had so many questions that we haven't been able to fit them into all of our episodes. So what we're doing this week is answering some of your questions. So to explain how this works, I have some questions and Sam has some questions, and we've culled these questions from our emails. It's possible that we've seen the questions, but actually Sam and I don't know which questions we're going to ask each other. So this could be fun.
Hopefully there's no crossover.
or a car crash.
Yeah.
it's possible we've all selected the same questions.
Possibly, yeah.
I don't think we thought this through at all, have we?
Was that one of the questions? Because I had that question too.
Uh-oh. Well, here we go. We started already. But we will be back with season two and more on that to follow. So I think we're just going to fire away with a question. We'll take it in turns. As I always ask the question each week, Sam, I think it must be your turn to go first with your first question.
So my first question comes from Liz from South Shields. And it's very similar to a question that we've had before and also something that we said last week. So the rule is you can't repeat the same answer that you said last week. Okay. That should hopefully make sense. The question is, if we were stuck on a desert island, what film from this season would we choose to watch? And obviously last week we said Flushed Away and Wallace and Gromit, but we can't say those this time around.
Okay, so which movie would we watch on a desert island from the season that we've just done? I am going to go with, I think I'm going to go with King Kong.
Fair enough, yeah. Logically, maybe Pirates of the Caribbean for me.
Yeah,
but
maybe.
I can't just ignore. Actually, I was going to say Spider-Man, but then I remembered we watched Amazing Spider-Man, so I'd probably go with Amazing Spider-Man from 2012.
Okay, that would be good. That's two decent enough films. I said King Kong because it's just long.
True, and,
And I've seen The Fellowship of the Ring far too many times.
In terms of length, I reckon I could probably do Amazing Spider-Man back to back and it wouldn't be a problem for me.
So you watch it and then go back to the credits and start all over again.
Start again, yeah.
Wow. Okay, fine. Did you know that movie word for word yet?
I was going to quote it, but I can't think of any that come to mind. The one that did is a line in the trailer that's not even in the film.
So I guess the answer to that question is no. Well, that would be a thing you could do on your desert island. Okay, that's a good question. Thanks, Liz from South Shields. I've got a question. My next question is, this is from Mateo, who is in Madrid in Spain. We're very big in Spain, actually.
We are, yeah.
So thanks to our Spanish listeners. So Mateo says, if you could have visited the set of any movie while it was being made, which one would you choose?
Oh, that's good. I think there's a lot that would come to mind. I think being on the set of like Lord of the Rings or something like that and just feeling involved in that world and seeing that world come to life would be great. I feel like another answer would be a Marvel movie, because then you'd get a bit of behind the scenes, and but then you'd probably not know what scene you were seeing. So, I don't know, I think I'm going to have to go with the fantasy realm of it and just being able to experience that world in real life. So probably like Two Towers, maybe Helm's Deep would be kind of fun.
Yeah.
Or maybe Hobbiton even, yeah.
Yeah. I agree with everything you've just said. I think there'd be something quite boring about one of the big blue screen movies. You know, I remember Ewan McGregor saying something about that in Star Wars. He just said, you know, I spent hours standing in front of a blue screen. So I think that would be, you know, maybe less interesting, but things with really good locations, good sets and things. So I think it's a really obvious answer, but it would have to be, for me, any of the Lord of the Rings trilogy. But I think, I feel like Two Towers is a good one, because Helm's Deep would be awesome to see, right?
Yeah, and it's not like, to be honest, the other one that came to mind would have been Return of the King at the Black Gate, but surely that's just a big muddy field at that point, right?
Yeah.
So you'd want like indoors and like actual surroundings, I think.
I tell you what would be, let's not get ahead of ourselves by movies that we're going to cover on the podcast, but I tell you what would be a good one. You know the bit, I think it is in The Return of the King, where Theoden King is given his big speech in front of all of the horses, and they do that thing where he runs along and bangs his sword against each other's sword, and it's not CGI. There's like hundreds of horses.
True. Yeah.
That would be a good day to be on set.
Oh, that would have made me cry.
Yeah, it makes me cry even thinking about being on set for that.
Do you imagine being like one of the horse riders who gets their sword hit, and just, you're supposed to look tough and brave and you're in tears?
Yeah, it's like, oh, no. Yeah, no, that would be cool. A good one. So there you go, Mateo from Madrid in Spain. Probably a fairly predictable answer, but I think that's a good one.
It's a good one. So, I think another fantasy element might be like filming at Hogwarts when everyone's in their uniform and things like that. I think that would be kind of fun.
That would be cool. I mean, I'm not the biggest Potter fan, but I think it would be great to have been there on that day and sort of seen them doing all of those things.
Yeah. Although I guess wouldn't see any magic.
That is true.
Might ruin it. There
probably are some other movies that I wouldn't mind being on set for that would be kind of maybe, you know, just when there's some like really good acting taking place or something like that. Maybe even movies that we haven't seen together. I mean, I really like The Imitation Game with Benedict Cumberbatch. Because I think he's really good in it. And I think that might be quite a good one to be on set for, just to watch these really good actors playing off each other.
Yeah, that's a good point. Like, if there's an actor who, like, really gets into character, it might be quite interesting to see how they, like, the process and how they do that. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Excellent. Oh, we're flying through these. Two down. Sam, over
Don't
to you.
Don't number them,
next.
Just in case.
Yeah, that's true. Next question.
Okay. So this is kind of like, It's two questions, but by similar, but by different people. So Simon from Norfolk asked us the last film that we watched that wasn't for the podcast. And as well, Greg from Scotland has said, last film we watched at the cinema.
Wow. Okay. Last film I watched that wasn't for the podcast was... Oh, well, the one at the cinema was Deadpool and Wolverine. That's the last movie I watched at the cinema. Okay, so that's pretty recent. The last one I watched that wasn't... I watched a movie on Netflix, but I've actually forgotten what it was. So obviously it hasn't made an impact. I might need to... it was a TV series on Netflix. So and it was not very good. Had Nicole Kidman in it.
I think I've heard of that. I don't think I've heard of that one. That doesn't narrow it down.
This is not good podcast material, but I genuinely can't remember the last film I watched.
It's funny because I'd forgotten what mine was as well, but then it came back to me because it was only a few days ago. I watched last film that I watched that wasn't for the podcast was Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, the newest one.
Okay,
I quite liked it. I think it probably could have lost a lot of plot, not plot, but like it was long. It didn't need to be long. Could have been a lot shorter, I think. And the last one that I saw at the cinema was Spider-Man No Way Home, which sounds that was a good few years ago, but it was because they were re-released at the cinema, so it was actually only, like, the other day.
All right, okay. No, that's cool. It's embarrassing. I do a movie podcast. I can't remember the last movie I watched. I think it might actually have been a movie called The Intern, which has got Robert De Niro in it and Anne Hathaway. And I'm just too embarrassed to admit that that was the last movie that I watched.
That's fair. It's a movie. You're allowed to watch whatever you want. Yeah.
Well, you know, it's just sometimes you just want a bit of fluff. Does that make sense?
Exactly. You just want
something you can watch that doesn't sort of take too long or require too much thought or anything like that.
I remember when I first started a job a couple of years ago, and I was exhausted and it was cold evenings. I decided to watch all the Hitman movies because it was just like, I can switch off, it's just random action. And I always remember that for some reason because it's just, they're not the most straightforward things to watch, but it was enjoyable to an extent. So I know what you mean.
Fair enough. Yeah. Daniel from Cork in Ireland asks a really interesting question. And I'm almost scared for the answer. I don't know if you've seen this one. I hope you don't have it on your list. Daniel, in addition to the thing, Daniel said in his email that he has memories of going to the movies with his dad, and that's the thing that they did. Okay, so so he likes our podcast because it's helpful for that, and he likes that. And he said, if you had to describe your father-son as relationship as a movie genre, which one would it be and why? Thanks, Daniel.
It's got to be comedy, right? We've had a lot of funny jokes and fun.
Yeah, I would say comedy is our genre, right?
Even just coming up with random sketches because we're bored in a cafe.
It's true.
It's got to be that. True.
Some of the silly things that we've done. Yeah, I think I'm glad it's comedy. I mean, there would be some dramedy in there, I'm sure, at times. But overall, if you had to sort of summarize it, I would go with comedy.
Yeah, nothing else really comes to mind for that.
No, I don't
think horror so. Is just a funny exaggeration.
Action thriller. You know, comedy is good. I think comedy.
That's kind of similar to another question that I'd seen. It doesn't say where he's from, but it's from someone called Peter. And he's asked, what's our favourite cinema anecdote? And the only reason that you made me want to ask that sooner is when I went to see a film quite recently at the cinema, there was what I think was a father and son, a couple of rows in front of me, a very young son, but like old enough to be at the cinema. And they were laughing at the sort of pre-reel of advertising the cinema. Mm-hmm. Alienate the audience, but it's from Cineworld. So the guy on the advert gets his little Cineworld card out and he shows it off and then swipes it with his finger. And the kid had made this a joke because his dad or granddad had done it. And I thought that's probably me and you, that is. Taking the mick out of a little advert. And I thought, in 10 years' time, do they want to make a podcast?
Hey, listen, anyway. there's a whole podcasting network out there, Father and Son Experiences. we're trailblazers, I think.
Exactly, yeah. So, yeah, favorite cinema anecdote for me and you. It's got to be a lot of these.
Well, it's interesting because there are lots and lots of them, but my memory is that going to the cinema was, this is going to disagree with what we said before, it's kind of a serious business. We went to the movies. It wasn't like a one-off adventure. It was like, okay, we're going to movies, we're going to go and see this. I think my favorite cinema memory was the little things that we developed, sort of way that we communicated each other in the cinema. I definitely remember thumbs up, thumbs down for trailers.
Yeah.
So we'd watch a trailer and then we'd look at each other, no words, thumbs up, thumbs down, and that's how we decided the movies that we're going to go and watch. Hulk 2003, because is an anecdote, because neither of us particularly enjoyed the movie. And I think I may have slept through about half an hour of it anyway, which does tell its own story. But my favourite one, I think I've told on the podcast anyway, which was the three Wallace and Gromit movies. At the private, so not private cinema, at the sort of small independent cinema, because it was your first cinema experience and you were blown away by it. So that's my favourite anecdote. Yours?
I don't know. I think I've kind of mentioned it on the podcast before, and it's pre-cinema, so before we've even arrived, when you've picked me up from school and then we've popped to like HMV or something, to the shops to buy the CD of the previous movie and then just blast that in the car on the way. I always enjoyed those moments because it was fun. You know, you just finished school for the week. Let's go and have some fun. Yeah.
Yeah, which that's good. And there was always a cheeky McDonald's or something on the way back. That was always
good.
Yeah,
that's true.
It's just made it the kind of a whole adventure thing of going to the movies. It was just great. You know, it's a very fond memory, not just of like you and I, but just like fond memory of life, really.
Yeah,
which is why we're here.
Even just as a kid coming out of the cinema and it was pitch black and cold and everything, it's just like, it's a proper feeling, isn't it?
Yeah, especially when you've gone in the winter time and you come out and it's cold and you sort of, you've been indoors and it's warm, you come out, it's cold and everything else. Yeah, okay. But we like these questions. I have another one. Are we ready?
Ready.
Okay, so this question is from Emily. Emily is in Vancouver in Canada. And she asks, who is your favourite non-human character in a movie?
Oh, interesting. Any movie or movie that we've watched?
I think it's any movie. So, I mean, it could be one that we're going to watch, one that we have watched, or one that we haven't seen together. Your favourite non-human character in a movie?
I was trying to think of, like, a droid in Star Wars, but I don't think there's any in movies that I really like that much. I'm trying to think of something that isn't just an obvious answer. I think, for me, I like Rocket Raccoon in Guardians of the Galaxy. I think he's my favourite character in those movies, and as a non-human, I think that works. And I think he's got a great story. I don't know if that's like the immediate answer that I want to go for, but I don't know. Godzilla.
Godzilla. Yeah. That's what I was expecting you to say, actually. I thought you might go Godzilla. My favourite non-human character in a movie, this was quite interesting because, like you, you immediately go to what might be an animal. But I thought, there's plenty of robots, plenty of aliens that we've seen out there as well. But I'm going to just think I'm going to have to go with, as my favourite non-human character in the full canon of cinema, I think I'm going to go with Wally. I just really like that character. It's just really nicely done and sweet, cute, lovely. And it's a movie that we've seen. And so, I think I'm going to go with Wally. I think I might regret that later on, having gone with Wally.
Yeah, I think mine too. Yeah.
Because in theory, you could go elves, hobbits.
True.
Dwarves. They're all non-human characters. And Gollum, non-human character. But I don't want to become Lord of the Rings fixated. That's a bit of an issue. Then you've got all the droids in Star Wars. But I think I'm going to stick with Wally because I think the whole purpose of this is we answer the questions on the fly. So Wally for me.
Nice. Jeff, who hasn't left where he is for us, has said, did we watch a film with read and left to right in mind? Because I know we mentioned it a few weeks ago. It was on the Pirates of the Caribbean episode that the character of Barbossa was purposely on the left side of the screen so that he thought people would read it left to right. And then we said, we're going to watch another film with the idea of left or right in mind. So Jeff's wanting to know if we did that.
I don't think I've watched the film specifically to check that theory, Jeff.
Yeah.
Good question. But I have tried to look more closely at what's happening on screen, either through television series or through movies. And I don't know that I'm convinced with movies being deliberately made left or right.
Yeah.
But I'm certainly aware of the fact that when I watch a movie, I do watch it from left to right. Does that make sense?
It does, actually. That's a good answer. Yeah. I think when I've tried to do it, just to see, I either just lose interest so quickly or I've picked a scene that doesn't do it, so it doesn't really matter. Mm-hmm. But most of the films that I've watched that I've tried to have just been either small ones like Spiderwick, so it probably wouldn't because it's for kids, or a Marvel movie, which is basically just point and shoot.
Yeah.
So probably not, yeah.
But I do,
but
I like
your
think,
answer.
I think you do read things left to right. And I don't mean of course we read things left to right, but I don't know if movies are deliberately made like that. We'd have to ask somebody in the know, but I'm conscious of the fact that I probably do look at the screen like that. Because you spend so much time looking at screens nowadays that actually left to right is kind of what you do anyway all of the time, right?
Yeah, I know there's that sort of theory and idea that when you're looking for something and you can't find it, you need to look at it from right to left because then your eyes will pick it up rather than gloss over it, which I don't know if I've mentioned before, actually.
Interesting. I have a question from Oliver in Birmingham in the UK. Thanks, Oliver. and he emailed us shortly after Godzilla, actually, just looking at the date stamp on this. And his question is a little bit based on that, I think. He says, this is Oliver, has there ever been a movie you both completely disagreed on? And how did that play out?
Oh, I don't know. I think there's been movies where, actually, here's one that I can think of. And it annoyed me for a few years afterwards because you were right. And that this is like, I didn't want you to be right in this moment. When we saw Amazing Spider-Man 2 from 2014, mm-hmm. I really liked it. I must have watched it like 3 or 4 times at the cinema. And I think the one time that I went with you, because I kept going with friends, was I still liked it. And then I saw it. No, I still liked it. And then you said it was all right, but in a few years' time, people are going to realize how bad it was. And obviously that franchise sort of died out. And in hindsight, ironically, it's really not as good as I thought it was. Spoilers. But it was just like, we disagreed in that moment because I was like, oh, I liked it. Spider-Man movie, it was great. And you were right.
Oh, okay. I don't know. I can't think of a movie that we've ever completely disagreed upon. I think we have always had similar tastes. Yeah. Or at least... Yeah, I think we probably did have similar tastes. I've got a question about that later on, actually, so I won't get into that right now. I don't know that we've ever completely disagreed on a movie that we disagreed so completely that, you know, we were sulking at each other or we fell out or something like that. I mean, there are definitely movies that we watched together that we probably wouldn't even bother with on the podcast.
True.
Which I was literally just playing out the role of taking you to the cinema. So I remember going to see the SpongeBob SquarePants movie. I don't think we need to cover that. And but, you know, I remember going to watch it and possibly some of the Spy Kids movies very early on. Mm. movies that I was, you know, I was sort of doing the duty. I don't know if we've ever completely disagreed on a movie. We might now, but probably at the time, the time our views were in this sort of time that we were doing this, watching movies together. Then I would say that we were pretty much aligned by what we wanted to see and what we didn't want to see.
Yeah, would you say that your sort of take on cinema back then was through the eyes of a child, as in me? So you would get an idea of the film based on what my reaction was, or do you think you would just have your own opinion anyway?
Well, it's a deep psychological question. I think definitely having a son of a certain age allowed me to go and watch films that I would have wanted to go and see anyway.
Yeah.
Makes sense? Yeah. So, you know, of course I want to go and see these movies. It's great that we can go and do that together and enjoy them together and appreciate that. I think it probably did. I think there probably is something about the fact that we were watching movies together. And you know, the bit that people who listen to this podcast will probably miss is the fact that not every movie I ever watched was with you. You know, there were movies that we didn't watch together during that period of time. I was just going to say, it certainly allowed me to watch movies that I've really, really wanted to watch, and you know, I had someone to drag along with me. Really, it was great.
Yeah, I remember you went to see the first Thor film on your own, actually, and came back and were like, "Oh, it's great! You should see it." I don't know why I didn't go, but yeah,
I don't know. And there was that thing that sometimes it was my job to go and watch movies that were rated 12.
That's but true.
Thor,
yeah.
You probably were older than 12 when Thor came out.
I can't remember now, yeah. Do you know what it is? I just don't think I was that interested back then. Because I find it hard to get into Iron Man back then as well.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's possibly true. I have a similar question, which is just from my own head and not from one that a listener has sent in. So, and that is, like, based on what you've just said, which is, so there's when, this is sort of deeply, deep therapy type of question, but you know, there's... So you know, I would go and watch football with my dad, and I would enjoy that. That was a thing, but partly I would do it because I wanted to please my dad. Was there an element of that with movie watching?
No, I don't think so. I think I've always enjoyed it, even from the early age going to see Wallace and Gromit. I had a fascination with it. Mm-hmm. I think if it was a chore and I wanted to please you, I wouldn't have gone and studied it at uni.
There
is that, yeah. But no, I think it was always nice to have someone in common to be able to go and see a film with. And I hope that's the same with you of like course, a footballer.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, it was never going to be football, was it? But that was our shared thing. Everybody has that shared thing, that connection. True. Okay, well, let's move away from this trip down amnesia lane and get back to a question, nice easy question from Max, who is in Wellington in New Zealand. Thanks, Max, which I'm quite jealous of. Actually, Max wrote to us and said that he had listened to our Lord of the Rings episode and really enjoyed it. And said that one of the great joys of his life was the fact that he lived in Wellington in New Zealand, and so he felt like it was always around him. Cool. Yeah, thanks, Max. It's both heartwarming and makes us deeply jealous. and Max's question is: which film soundtrack could you listen to on repeat for a whole week?
Oh, probably a silent film. Wait, no. I'm sure I've said it a million times by now, but definitely Spider-Man. Probably Amazing Spider-Man. One of those two. I think if I'm not given a cliched answer, I can only give a cliched answer. I do like some of the Star Wars ones. I could probably get into those ones. I think what I need out of a soundtrack is a lot of just background music as well, so not necessarily the action scenes and things like that. So if I'm like busy working on something, there it is. And I think Star Wars is quite good for that. I know in the past when the other movies came out, I would get on with like bits and pieces here and there and just listen to the soundtrack. So probably a Star Wars one if I'm not being as immediately obvious as Spider-Man.
Mine is not immediately obvious because it's a film that we've probably seen but we wouldn't have gone and seen together. And mine is definitely very predictable once I say it out loud, but mine is going to be Flash Gordon soundtrack from 1980.
Nice,
because you know it's Queen, and I do like Queen. It's a groundbreaking soundtrack because it was really the first time a rock band had been used to make a movie soundtrack that wasn't a movie about rock music.
Cool.
And if you think about then what happened afterwards, suddenly rock music is all over movies now.
Yeah.
And so, but it was really groundbreaking. It's 44 years old now, and it's a killer. It's a killer soundtrack as well. I mean, it's of its time. There's lots of really 80s sounding synths in it, but some of the things like the battle theme and Flash's theme and stuff. It's just great. And so, I'm going to go with Flash Gordon's soundtrack by Queen. And if you haven't listened to it for a while or ever, you should definitely listen to it. It's a great soundtrack.
I don't know if I've ever even watched that all the way through.
It's a terrible movie, but it's so bad it's good. So it's one of those it's worth watching because it's so bad it's good, and it has this massive cult status now. But the best thing about the movie is the soundtrack. So the best way to watch the movie is just to listen to the soundtrack, because it's got loads of dialogue in it as well. So you kind of live the movie, and it's really good. It's really typically Queen, really silly and over the top, and great. So that's my answer: Queen, Flash Gordon, or Lord of the Rings again. Yep. But I'm trying to avoid making that the answer to every question. So.
Me too. All of my questions seem to just not have a name or a place. This one here says, I know what you did on June 18th, 2021. Anyway, moving on. Fran from Norway has said, what editing software do we use?
for better or worse, I don't know the answer to that question, because I don't do the edit. So over to you, Sam.
I edit on Adobe Audition, which is probably not the best one to use, but it's the one that I was taught how to use. I'm also not the best at editing, but I try. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. That's a good question. I have a question from Luke. So this question is from Luke in Perth, Australia. It's amazing that somebody in Australia is listening to our podcast. So thanks very much for that, Luke. We really appreciate it. It's not dissimilar to the question you just asked. He said, how did we come up with the idea to do the podcast?
Oh, I picked that one as well, funny enough, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, well, it's a good question. And I don't really know. I think maybe I suggested it to you. Can't remember. Yeah. Is that right?
It was one of those famous stories where, you know, how did that person pitch the movie to you? Well, he took me to a coffee shop, and because that's basically what happened, isn't it? I didn't get a coffee, but we sat in Starbucks, I think it was, and you sort of pitched the idea.
Yeah.
So it was kind of your child, really, and you just, I just sat there and nodded.
But I think I have sort of agreed with me. I do listen to podcasts, and I just thought, well, it'd be a nice thing to do, and why not, you know? And it also means that, you know, now that you're grown up and we don't live in the same house or anything like that, it's just a great way to connect. So I just thought it was a nice thing to do. So,
and, yeah, I mean, I definitely appreciated the idea. I didn't think I would ever do it. No, that's not how I wanted to say that.
I tell you what, I didn't think we'd be at a point where we were on episode 22 and had, you know, 20 questions to answer from people that had listened to our podcast. Genuinely, I didn't think that. So that's been quite nice.
It has, yeah. At least we're interesting enough to do it, yeah. I feel like there's a lot of podcasts that start and then just immediately flop. We've made it this far.
Well, yeah, or if not flop, sort of run out of steam, because it does take some commitment, definitely more commitment than I thought in terms of time, and I don't even do the edit, so
that's true.
so way less commitment from me. So thanks, Luke, and thanks, Luke from Perth in Australia, for picking up our podcast. We really appreciate that. It's really good that people are listening to this. So thanks, Luke.
So Connor from Chicago has asked us, and again I think I've answered this before, is what's the one film you watched non-stop as a youngster? So as a kid, what was the film that you constantly wanted to put on?
Oh, good question. That's more difficult for me to answer.
Yeah,
because the way in which I watched movies as a kid is very different from the way that you watch movies as a kid.
True.
So I would have been in my mid-teens when we got a video recorder in our house. Okay, so all through my childhood, if you wanted to watch a movie, you either had to go to the movies, or if you missed it at the movies, which it was a rare thing to go to the movies when I was sort of, you know, the age that you and I were going, that was a rare treat to do that. Or you had to wait 4 years for it to appear on television, normally on Christmas Day.
Oh.
So it would have been unusual to then sort of watch a movie over and over again. But the thing I remember watching most of all was the animated version of The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe.
Right. Wow.
Which is a movie I don't think I could now do word for word, but I definitely could when I was 10, 11, 12, 13 years old. I watched it, and I don't know how or why, but it was one that I was able to watch over and over again. So that's the movie from my childhood that I remember watching the most.
That's cool, though, yeah. And very unique, I would say.
But very different from probably what your experience was, when you would watch the movie at the cinema, and then 6 months later, the DVD would come out, and then you could watch it over and over again.
Yeah, I think back when I was a kid, though, it was at least a year or two until it actually came out.
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
I think it's only recently that it's been the last few months. I've definitely mentioned it on the podcast before, but I'll reiterate, I guess, is Revenge of the Sith. Because I remember that coming out and thinking, I've completed the whole saga now. And then I just recently got that little TV, which I think was on a really high shelf for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
And I just constantly put it on. If it wasn't the whole film, it was definitely the sort of Anakin Obi-Wan fight scene that I was constantly going through. But I think there's probably a lot for me. Yeah, I think I did a lot of the Harry Potter ones. Sort of, I remember doing the third Harry Potter film a lot. Uh-huh. Probably Wallace and Gromit. I think that's kind of like my go-to, I'm not feeling very well, sick movies. That's probably still to the day. Yeah.
I remember you watching Chicken Run over and over and over till it wore out. I have a memory which is unbelievably not connected to you, which is my little brother would watch Chitty Chitty Bang Bang every single day. And that's a long movie, right? That's involved movie. And so I remember that as a sort of teenager, my son, my little brother watching Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. So mine is Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe, and I think it must have been on video. So it must have been, I'm trying to think of when I would have got a video. I think it would be about 1984. So I would have been sort of very early teens at that point, and that was the movie that I had on VCR or VHS that I watched over and over again.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's good. It's a very good question. This is a really interesting question. Now, this is also from Chicago in the USA. This is Sarah. I wonder if they know the person who asked the last question. Maybe they do. The question is this. What was the first movie where you felt you truly understood each other's taste in films?
Oh, I'm going to have to go back to the obvious and say Lord of the Rings. I think it's just one of those ones where it's a big adventure movie that we can both just enjoy, despite the length of them. I know you probably might not agree to that originally, but yeah, I think that was the moment where we both sort of went, yeah, we can do this. And then even Star Trek as well.
Yeah, I would say that and probably The Phantom Menace were ones, because you were very young when The Phantom Menace came out. You were literally, I mean, I've tried not to give away our age on this podcast, but let's just say that you were anywhere between the age of 2 and 3, which gives it away close enough. But that was one where you were, you know, you were right, like not really more than a toddler, but you went with your lightsaber and things, and I just thought, this is cool. That was a cool thing. So probably Star Wars, The Phantom Menace was the first time when I thought this could become a thing. The moment when I thought that it really was a thing was The Two Towers, definitely The Two Towers, which is an anecdote I've told before on a podcast. But then after that, I think our taste in film kind of developed really just along the same lines. There was always a movie to watch, superhero, good adventure, nice children's movie, and that kind of thing. And there was always something that came out that would appeal to us.
So, it would be interesting to see if there was any like direct influence in the films that I've watched later on to like what we sort of discussed back then and watched back then. I know there's obviously like recommendations and things like that, but I wonder if I've ever gone, I'll see that, and deep down it's because I would have seen it with you.
I think there's definitely movies that I watch that I do that because then this will come out wrong. Because there's a sort of a negative take you could make about this, but I definitely watch movies that we can then go and talk about, so we've got something to talk about, right? But that doesn't mean that we wouldn't have anything to talk about anyway. Would be the negative side of that.
Yeah, yeah.
But like definitely things like watching all the Deadpool movies. I mean, I enjoy them and I really like them, but that's something we can talk about. And continue with the Avengers the Marvel movies and things like that. And then the Star Wars movies and things. So definitely, you have had an influence on what I continue to go and watch. But there'd almost certainly be films that I would watch that you wouldn't watch, and vice versa. So,
yeah, I think on the back of that, I think I expect you to watch the Cloverfield ones just so you can tell me what's going on.
I've just remembered the last movie that I watched.
Nice.
And I can't remember what it's called. It was on Amazon Prime, and it stars Mark Wahlberg, and he plays a long distance adventure runner, and it's a true story. And on the way they meet a stray dog that follows him across hundreds of miles of this adventure race, and they form a unique bond. And it turns out the dog's really poorly, so he has to fight to get it back to the United States of America and save the dog's life. That's the last movie that I watched. I can't remember what it's called. It's very new. It just came out. And it's actually really good. Quite predictable in the fact that it's got a happy ending. But it's predictable because you wouldn't make that movie if it had a sad ending, right? Yeah. But it's definitely worth watching. If you've got Amazon Prime, it's definitely one worth watching. You find it easy. So that was good. That's the last movie that I watched. Sorry to the person who asked that question, what feels like an hour ago. But that was actually the last time I watched.
That's just reminded me of this really random movie that I've seen twice, just because it's random, but it's like passes the time quite nicely. It's called Rescued by Ruby. It's a random Netflix film that stars Grant Gustin, and he's like a police officer who needs a search dog, and he finds this random dog and then trains it. It's very cliche as well, but it's sweet. It's nice. That's based on a true story too.
That's a good one. I have a question here that I don't know if it's your turn or my turn, but I'm going to go with anyway, because it's just sort of popped into my head based on the conversation we're having. So this is Sophie from Hamburg in Germany. And she says, she says something really nice. So I'm going to read this bit out loud. She says, "Dear Dean and Sam, I've been listening to the podcast now for the last 2 or 3 weeks. It's lovely to hear a father and son who enjoy spending time together. And that's one of my favorite things about the podcast. But I also enjoy your film analysis. So thanks for that, Sophie. That's a really nice thing to say. And her question is, and it's a question for you, actually, Sam.
Oh.
But I think we can both answer.
And yes, the question is single. Not that kind of question.
She says, Sam, is there a movie that you would be embarrassed to admit to your dad that you have enjoyed?
Oh, I don't know. I think you may already kind of know this, but I like it's a genre. I like musicals. Is that a problem?
No, I don't think so. I think that's I like musicals as well. You know that.
Fair enough. Yeah.
So you like musicals? What's your go-to musical?
Oh, it's always Tick, Tick, Boom. I really like that one. I don't know if I've got one that's like I would never admit. I'll probably come up with it after we've recorded this.
Yeah.
But yeah. I don't know.
I couldn't think of one. The only thing I could think of, again, was not a, not necessarily a movie, but there are two movies. I really like Downton Abbey.
Yeah. You shouldn't admit that one.
So maybe that's one I'm sort of embarrassed to admit. Yeah. And I like Downton Abbey so much that I've watched both the movies. I've rewatched the series, I think, 2 or 3 times. I also watched the American version of Downton Abbey, which is called The Gilded Age. So, in answer to your question, Sophie from Hamburg, I don't think Sam really has one, but I like Downton Abbey. And there you go. That's a good question, actually, Sophie. Thank you very much for that. That's really good. Okay, I've got two more questions left. Have you got any left?
I've got three.
Okay, you go first.
Mike from Ireland has asked us. It's very similar. It's like a bit of the behind the scenes to what we did before. How did the out-of-pocket take come about? Which I think is a bit of a boring answer, really.
I think it was your idea, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was a bit of both, to be honest. I think the idea came from me.
Mm-hmm.
That's just doesn't answer. That's not right. I think the concept kind of sort of made itself because I came up, I think it was Phantom Menace, I said the theory about the time travel and Tusken Raiders.
Uh-huh.
And then a couple of episodes continue and I kept on saying these random theories or internet theories. So I think we just built it up as Sam's out-of-pocket take, which is definitely true every time.
Oh, always true. Yeah, always, always true.
I feel like we've exposed a secret there that we shouldn't have.
Interesting enough, I've got a very similar question from Amelia in Cardiff in Wales. I don't know if you've got this question, okay? Amelia asks this question. She said, what happened to the adverts that are featured in the first 3 or 4 episodes? And whose idea was it to reference what day it was when you record? So, for example, there was last week it was Speak Like a Pirate Day. So I don't think I can answer those questions. I think it's over to you on those ones, Sam.
I am for the adverts. The people came to me and said we'd like to sponsor the podcast with an advert. That's not true. They were just fun. I enjoyed doing them. It was something clever and random to put in. We did get a cease and desist letter. No, that's not true either. I just ran out of time, really. Back when I was doing them, I had loads of time to do it and edit the podcast. They don't take long, but coming up with the ideas, then recording it, and getting people to do voices that aren't me at all, just took time. I'd like to bring them back, so maybe they'll come back. Maybe it'll be like a every now and then thing.
Yeah, that might be nice.
The thing as well is, like, I don't know the movie in advance every week, so I can't just come up with an idea beforehand. Uh-huh. And if I do it that way, it's always going to be the movie that I've picked.
Yeah.
But I would like to bring them back, yeah. And the what day it was, that's all thanks to my laptop, which came up and just said National Otter Day or whatever it was like that. And I said it randomly and just kept it in. And I think it just became a bit of a running joke.
Yeah, so many people emailed after that episode and without a question and just said that they just thought it was one of the funniest things I'd ever heard, that randomly you said, do you know today's World Otter Day? There you go.
I also really like the little inclusion of the toilet flush that I did for Flushed Away.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've mentioned that, but that was actually my actual toilet that made that noise. I just recorded it.
There you go.
Behind the scenes.
Behind the scenes information. I've got one question left. You've got, I think, two. So do you want to do one of yours and I'll do mine and you go last. How's that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Matt from Cornwall has asked, who are our favourite film directors?
Oh, that's a really good question. I'd seen that one, so I've given it some thought, to be fair. My favourite film director is... that's such a good question, because I don't want to be dull and say Peter Jackson. But I don't like everything he's done. I do think that it's only recently. I remember at university, so I'm going back to the early 90s, okay?
Right.
And it would have been 93 and Jurassic Park had come out, and I'd been to see Jurassic Park, and I was talking to some uni chums about seeing Jurassic Park, and they were being all clever and saying, oh no, you need to go and see this movie and that movie, and this is all just Hollywood fluff and everything else. And I made the argument then, and I'm not trying to sound clever or anything here, I just said, no, you're sort of missing the point. Steven Spielberg is the best director of his generation. He's a genius. He's a movie making genius. And just because it's popular doesn't make it bad. If you watch them, they're really well directed. And this is a guy that knows what he's doing. And over the last then sort of 30 years since then, you know, he has become a revered and well-respected filmmaker. And he's made some, you know, I mean, Schindler's List, it's impossible to say anything serious on this podcast, but Schindler's List remains a masterpiece of its type. And sure, he's made some movies that, like, you know, didn't work. And then there was one that came out quite recently, I think Meet the Fablemans, which was also beautifully directed. And so I wouldn't say my favorite film director, but I would definitely say that of my lifetime, Steven Spielberg is the go-to guy for, you know, he's a director that can sell a movie, right? There aren't many of those.
True. I think it's one of those ones where you hold them in such high esteem, yeah. I think I'm going to kind of agree with that off the back of that is when I went to see Ready Player One, which I'm sure is a Steven Spielberg film as well.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, that was one of those few occasions where I forgot that I was watching a film because he's so good at building the world and the characters and everything like that that I got so invested that I had to sort of snap myself out of it for a second and just be like, oh, this is a film, because it's just, you're just into it, yeah? He's really good at that. My other controversial answer, which is got a bit of a funny story as well, I'm going to say Michael Bay. And I know people think he just does the big explosions and things like that, but I think he's got such a craft in what he does that he's always so serious about getting it done and doing it right. Mm-hmm. That being said, Six Underground is a film that I've revisited several times, and that's a Michael Bay film. There's some lines of dialogue at the end, which is just a voiceover, and it's him doing it. And it's like he has to just shoehorn some exposition into the film because it's missed out in the script. And I just think that's really funny. But I do think, I think he's hated on a bit too much, and it is a bit, it's become a bit of a cliche to just joke about him and hate on him. But he introduced me to Transformers as well.
Yeah.
I think he's just good at his craft. Not quite as Steven Spielberg. But
I love the Michael Bay quote, which was, I make movies for teenagers.
Yeah.
Sue me, which I think is absolutely true. But the other ones I'd probably reference in that would be, I do like J.J. Abrams movies. I think they're a bit over reliant on lens flare and things. And, and there'll be Star Wars fans out there screaming at me, blaming him for what happened in Star Wars. But I think he can direct a movie. And the other one I would probably add to that person whose movies I would always go and see would be Wes Anderson, who I sort of discovered through the movie Fantastic Mr. Fox, which I thought was great.
Oh, yeah,
I
love
that
one.
And then more recently I watched Asteroid City. I don't know if you've seen it, but that's I loved that movie. I really liked it. So I just thought it was really nicely done, really stylish. So yeah, Wes Anderson would be my other one.
That's one of those
but again,
where it's more of an art piece as well, yeah.
Yeah, and but the more you talk about directors, the more you think actually that there might be more. You know, we haven't mentioned Nick Park, for example.
Yeah, true.
And you know, and he is, you know, the tone of his movies is always right, always right.
Mm.
So we didn't mention George Lucas.
I almost did.
Oh, okay, interesting. Director, yes. Writer, maybe not.
Yeah, maybe not.
Maybe not, but you know, okay. So I have two more questions. One is kind of a a fun question, and one is one of those ones where people are sort of trying to dig into the father and son thing. So this question is from Matteo in Florence in Italy, of all places. I've always wanted to go to Florence. I've never been. And he said, have you ever watched a film together that changed how you see each other?
I don't think so. Is that the answer you wanted?
I know, because it's a good question. I couldn't really think of one either. There were certainly movies that we watched together that I felt cemented the relationship that a father might have with his son.
Yeah.
But I don't know if there's a film movie that I've seen that's changed you. I tell you what I have noticed, if you want to get, if for people out there who do want to hear the more of the father and son thing, the one thing I have noticed is that there are definitely some movies that have had an influence on you.
Yeah. There was a question about that and I almost picked it. Yeah.
So, and the main one is Andrew Garfield in Spider-Man. If people knew you, they would know that that particularly, in my view, and you could disagree with me here, but in my view, that character has had an influence on the person that you are.
Yeah, I agree.
But I don't think there's a movie that we've watched that's changed my view of who you are.
I think the only one that really sprung to mind for me was Last Crusade, because there's that father-son sort of relationship. And I think I remember watching that film with you, and we probably had a sort of sense of me and you going on. I'm not saying that an old Sean Connery type, but do you know what I mean? Like that sort of banter that they have.
I tell you, this is interesting. If I was 1% as cool as Sean Connery in that movie, then I'd be happy ever after. I think it's a great movie. That's definitely the best Indiana Jones movie. Dare you to disagree with me out there. Somebody will. They always do. So I have one more. I have one more less serious question. How many questions have you got left?
Just one, yeah, for me.
Okay, do you want to go first or second with your last question?
I'll go first, because yours might be better. So, Martin from New York asks a very personal question.
Mm-hmm.
He says, can I ask you a personal question? If you draw something in chalk and erase it, where does it go?
If you draw something in chalk and erase it, where does it go?
Where does it go?
Well, presumably it's gone forever.
We may never know.
So I say it's similar to the question, if a tree falls in the forest, but nobody's there, does it make any sound?
I suppose it is.
Is it? I don't know. What a random question.
Thanks, Martin.
Thanks, Martin, for emailing the podcast with that question. That leaves us to a question which has come from Arjun, I think that's how you say it, in Mumbai in India. This is a good one. It's just a movie question. Which movie villain do we think was the most misunderstood?
Thanos. No.
Thanos, yeah, maybe.
I think there's probably some good ones out there, to be honest. I think there's a lot of... every now and then you find a villain who you can think, yeah, it's fair enough that he A, turned into a villain, and B, wants to do what he wants to do. It's a bit obvious. Anakin Skywalker, but before he fully turns to Darth Vader, I think he's probably misunderstood because he's just trying to save his love life and his family. Darth Vader, not so much because he is evil.
Yeah.
But that just seems like the really obvious answer again. I'm sure there's someone.
It's interesting that because one of the things that we didn't point out and we can't go back and do is that some of these questions are obviously influenced by episodes.
Yeah.
And Arjun's question is one that sort of drops in the inbox after we've done the Revenge of the Sith.
Right.
So presumably that's in his mind when he's asking the question. I actually don't think Thanos is a bad answer. I think it's a bit predictable. Possibly I would agree with Anakin Skywalker, Darth Vader, in the experience we have of watching movies.
Yeah.
Think of the sort of the classic villain. Possibly the Green Goblin from the first Spider-Man movie, because that wasn't entirely his fault that he became like that. So, you know, you get that there's an element of that as well. So that's one that springs to mind. I think it's probably what I've got. The only other one I could think of, and I don't think it's a film that we've seen together, would be Heath Ledger's Joker. It was a very complex character. And really good. All that reminds me, you need to watch A Knight's Tale. There you go. There's another one.
Did we watch that together?
Definitely, yeah.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, there's another one. Yeah, okay. Or maybe not. Don't keep that in because you don't remember it. Well, that's a lot of questions. So thank you to everybody that's sent those questions in. And I'm really sorry if we haven't got around to doing your questions, but, you know, the brevity dictates that we try and keep this down to a reasonable length. But, you know, it's been absolutely brilliant to go through some of these questions. And thank you so much for continuing to send them in. So thank you so much for all of those questions. I hope you've enjoyed listening to us answer them. We've certainly enjoyed reading them and answering them on your behalf. We will be back in a couple of weeks' time with season 2 of the Benefit of Hindsight podcast. We're going to take a break for a week, but do keep an eye on when we're back so you can listen to us and subscribe and download and all those modern things that I don't really understand. And crucially, if you do listen to the podcast, recommend us to a friend so we can reach more people. We do need to choose a movie for our first episode of season 2. And I was thinking, because it's my turn, we chose episode 1 for episode 1, which would be Star Wars The Phantom Menace for our first ever episode of the Benefit of Hindsight podcast. So I think we should do a film that would be a sequel, so a second movie.
Yeah.
I have decided that our movie for episode 1 of season 2 will be the 2004 classic Spider-Man 2.
Okay, good. I'm happy with that.
Okay, and so, your memories of Spider-Man 2?
I think I've probably touched upon this quite a bit, but I hold this movie in quite high regard because I do enjoy it, and I think I definitely enjoyed it as a kid. I've got a lot of positive memories of having seen it, and then the memories of after seeing it too.
Mm-hmm.
I think it must have been like a year before I got over it. It's a good one to start on, but maybe not so much a good score because I'm going to give this a 10 out of 10.
Wow. Okay, there's only one way you can go from there, or go down a bit. I do remember this movie. I remember it because we watched it more than once at the cinema. I remember at this point now you're a little bit older than when the first one came out. And so you are excited and you're ready to go and watch it. And you loved Spider-Man. I mean, I think that comes out loud and clear on the podcast anyway. So this is a movie that was, you know, I'm so excited. I can't get to sleep the night before because I'm going to watch Spider-Man 2. I do remember liking the movie as well. I remember enjoying it. And so I am going to give it a 9 out of 10. I think my memory tells me it might be the best of the Spider-Man movies up until a certain point. So I'm going to give it a 9 out of 10.
Nice.
Which gives it a very high score, 19, 9 and a half.
Compared to the last time we did a first episode, it's probably very different.
Thank you very much for listening. As I said before, we will be back in a couple of weeks' time. And so thank you so much for listening. And it really is only left for me to say that it is the National Research Administrators Day in the United States of America.
Wow. Okay.
So if you're out there and you are a research administrator, I hope you're having the best day ever. Happy Research Administrators Day in the United States of America. And also, no, I've got nothing.
I got nothing either.
So then, all it's left for me to do is to say bye-bye, Sam.
Bye-bye, Dad.
And we'll be back in a couple of weeks. Bye then.
See you later.
Ta-ra.
Mwah.
With the benefit. So I think we should follow a similar pattern. And that pattern is that season 2 should begin with a number 2. I can't say number 2. I can't say number 2 because that's poo. I'll do that again. I'll literally do that whole thing again.
We're keeping that in.
Oh, please don't.
So make sure when you come back that you have a number 2. Do you think anyone listens
to this? I'm going to do that whole bit again. Right, from the top of that because it's a mess.